Hi, welcome to Waldman's Words with Maggie Zappo as wonderful guest, Jed Fuchs as wonderful co-host, Emily Burke as wonderful co-host, and I'm Scott Waldman.
We do all of our own sound effects here on the show. There is no soundboard. That's all us.
I think we could use like a royalty-free one if we really wanted to.
No.
I don't think it's ever come up.
I'm sorry I did that sound effect that inspired that dialogue. Anyway, Maggie, thank you so very much. You're a wonderful guest, and it's cool to hear a different perspective on getting into the industry, and you'll learn more about that when you listen to the show.
A real scrappy one. She put the work in. She got the results out. She's from the same small town in Canada that a lot of my family is from. So, you know, small world.
But now lives out in LA. Honestly, it's like a great artist story of working hard, moving places, finding where you belong. And then obviously we talk about the pandemic because that's been hard on artists and everyone's taking it differently and are changing directions differently as needed. And we talk a lot about social media as well. She's really good
achieving
at Instagram.
Achieving success in another really country. Really great on Instagram. Very fit. But mostly, you know, achieving some success in your native country and thinking, you know what, maybe I should give it a shot in another one. And doing such enough to warrant a spot on this here prestigious talk show.
It's truly the sign of having made it. Not to toot our own horns.
My indicator of how I've made it.
I mean, the Grammys are losing credibility year after year. People are getting pissed. They need a new thing that really shows what is the best of the best of that year. And I think it should be our show.
I think it should be Waldman's Words. Yeah, exactly.
I see the opening happening.
Right. It's the prestigious industry honor, but it's us three also hosting. Of course.
We are the three amigos.
All right, guys. I'll start working on it. I'll get our awards show together.
Thank you, Maggie, for inspiring nothing. No, you're amazing.
Thank you.
I didn't want to give her credit for inspiring a dad joke.
Oh, because you like having the credit.
No, I didn't want her to be upset with us because she was a great guest.
She was a really good guest. No, if you're ready to hear the story of like how to actually make it happen literally on your own. Literally from getting your career started through the dozens of steps required to get out of Dundas, Canada, and over to Los Angeles. Sneak peek, it wasn't just one step. It was a lot of steps. Make sure you're continuing to listen to Waldman's Words. That's the type of insight you're getting here on this show.
If we're ever going to beat the Grammys.
That's what we need. Committee.
That's the goal now. That's the 2021 goal. Look, I know everyone's upset with the Recording Academy. That's fine. Adobe Radio is here and we're ready to take over. Speaking of which, we have to go very soon in the next couple of seconds because Adobe needs to play their ads. And then we need to start the show with Maggie, actually with us talking. So stick around, stay tuned, and we'll be right back with Maggie Zappo.
Maggie Zappo on Waldman's Words right now with Jed Fuchs, Emily Burke, and I am Scott Waldman. Hey, Maggie.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm very happy I asked you how to pronounce your name before we started because you said that it's a 0% record for the world.
Pretty much. So even the way you did pronounce it initially, like that's a pretty good job. So I'm impressed.
Well, I have a degree in English language and literature, which does not help.
Okay. Well, I think you need to give yourself more credit.
I think that this self-deprecation is lame. I am great, along with Jed and along with Emily. But the show is not about us today. It's about you. So I know that you are a musician, and a lot of times we have people behind the scenes on the show. But Katie, shout out to Katie. Sent us your stuff and you're here now. So we appreciate you and we appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Katie speaks so highly of you guys. So I'm stoked to be here.
Well, I have one word for that, and that's yay. So let's get to the beginning. Are you born and raised in Canada, or do we screw up the pronunciation for that country too?
It's actually Canada. Just kidding. Born and raised in a small town, like an hour from Toronto in Ontario, Canada. And I've been in LA for like 7 years now.
Oh, wow. You're almost a, I believe people become full Angeleno after 8 years of living in Los Angeles.
Is that the calculation?
So I'm not sure. I don't remember where I heard that, but I'm like, I think that sounds about right. You'll have every single LA experience after 8 years.
I'm an Angeleno. Okay. I moved to LA 17 years ago, so I'm LA AF.
Where did you move from?
Long Island. Yeah, interview me.
Long Island.
And I moved here. Thank you so much for asking. Moved here in 2003, and okay. I like to say that I will be a legal LA baby after one more year because that'll be 18 years here. But wow. You know, it's quite a place. Both Jed and Emily are born and raised in the 818. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're OGs. We're originals. I say it's not based on years. I say you're an Angeleno when you've paid a certain amount in parking tickets.
Oh, my God.
Is it 500? Is it 1,000? You could get him up there very quickly. I'm just saying.
I was probably an Angeleno in, like, my first 6 months of living here then.
Oh, I wish you didn't say that because I was about to make the joke that said the less responsible you are, the more likely you are to be an Angeleno.
Yes.
There we go.
Yeah.
Maggie, no, we want to hear about where you come from. We want to hear about the origin story, the prequel to the current amazing story that you're in right now. But can we just talk about how clean and laid out your Instagram is?
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
Color coordinated. Ugh.
I try, you know. It's fun.
You actually got it all together. But let's talk. So you say you grew up in a smaller town?
Mm-hmm, I did. It's called Dundas.
That's,
it's a good name.
That's literally where my family is from. Did you have a lot of musical influence growing up out there?
I mean, it's a really small town. I knew I loved music since I could talk. I always loved music. My parents are not in the music business, but they were always super supportive and they loved music. Like growing up, they would always play music and, you know, at dinner parties, they would play music. So I definitely got a lot of influence as far as like the artists that I liked growing up were because it was the music that my parents were playing. And even though they didn't do music, just their support really gave me, you know, the idea that like, okay, maybe this is something that I could do. So I started doing singing lessons, of course, and like, of course, dance lessons and everything I could to just surround myself with music because I always loved it.
You say, of course, but a lot of people don't take their craft seriously. A lot of people who want to sing have zero vocal training, and obviously one lesson could really benefit you. But I have two Canada questions.
Yeah.
So I was in a band with someone from Pickering, Ontario.
Oh,
have you heard of that?
Oh, yeah. I had an ex-boyfriend who's from Pickering.
Well, I had an ex-bandmate who's from Pickering. So it's the same thing. And he's a guy. So I was in a band called The City Drive. And the lead singer was named Danny Smith. And he was from Pickering. And he was on a Canadian TV show that maybe you've heard of. I don't know. I'll ask you. When I ask people on this show, typically they don't know it, which makes me kind of happy. So have you heard of a show called Big Wolf on Campus?
I feel like I've heard it, but I never watched it.
Well, you know what? I guess they didn't do a good enough job. So that's that question. Now, question two, Sum 41 is from Ajax. Have you heard of Ajax?
I have heard of Ajax because that's also like not far from Toronto.
So the two places I said are legit like not too far from you and you've heard of them, correct? Because I don't know too much about Ontario. I went to college 45 minutes from the Windsor border.
Okay, so you're like almost an honorary Canadian.
Yeah, you could say that. I mean, people say I'm polite, so I'll take it.
Okay, well, I mean, I definitely have heard of Pickering. It's like an hour and a bit away from me. Ajax is like an hour away. So it's all in the same like kind of vicinity, like outside of Toronto. Toronto's the big city close to us. So they're legit places for sure.
Well, and now we can actually get out of the Canada questions, which I know are very, very grating. And I'll ask you, who were your influences growing up when you were singing, when you were dancing? And I think I have a guess, but I could be wrong.
I want to, well, I'm curious what your guess is, but
Spice Girls.
Oh my, okay. Well, obviously, I wasn't actually going to say that because, like, I would say, like, songwriter perspective, I loved Carole King because she was another, like, female songwriter artist. I loved Tracy Chapman, Katie Lang. Like, that's the stuff my parents played. But, oh my God, the Spice Girls were my obsession growing up. Well, I usually don't say that they're, like, an influence.
But you said dancing. You said dance lessons. So, like, I wouldn't have assumed, oh, yeah, she's dancing to Katie Lang. Like,
no.
when my sister was really little, she got really into the Spice Girls. And I know that when Emily was really little, she got into One Direction. So it's like, you know.
If I'm really little.
Okay, fine. When you were really little, what was it? Were you into like NSYNC or Backstreet?
Oh, I was a Britney Spears and Avril Lavigne person.
Oh my God. Okay.
Avril Lavigne, also Canadian.
Yes. That's what I thought Scott's guess was going to be, was Avril Lavigne.
Yeah.
Well, I keep them guessing.
No, I mean, who wasn't influenced by Spice Girls as a little girl? I know I was.
I know.
Because they did sing and they did dance and they were all about the attitude.
And the fashion.
And friendship.
Yeah, friendship. It was so fun.
I mean, Say You'll Be There is a fucking jam. And I don't know if that word fucking was ever in that sentence before, but I'll pivot to it. Like, that is a jam. So, I mean, you're actually bringing up really credible songwriter artists, like, I mean, Carole King's Tapestry, and she's written so many great songs. So were you starting to write music on the piano?
Yeah, like when I was about, I started out writing like poetry and just writing down words, which ended up obviously turning into lyrics. And I was playing a bit of piano. I wasn't like a super strong piano player, but enough to like at least try and help with my songwriting. So I started, yeah, piano was my first instrument that I really started writing songs on. And then I learned a bit of guitar after that. So those are kind of the two instruments that I work with. But most of the time now, like I'm in a room with a producer who's kind of setting up the groundwork for a song and the track. And then I'm kind of coming up with the melody and lyrics.
Okay, but it is really important to have that background. There's a big difference between someone who knows how to do it from a more technical perspective and someone who just shows up in the studio thinking they know how to sing.
Totally. Like having that, even if it's just a small piece of knowledge about how to play guitar or piano, like I think as a writer and as a singer, it's so helpful because, you know, a lot of the times, like you need to understand that if you're working with a producer and they're talking about chords and something doesn't feel right, having that understanding and being able to express what you want to say, knowing what you're talking about is really important.
I agree with you. And something hilarious to note is when a non-drummer tries explaining to a drummer how to make something happen.
No, he's going to hit it harder and hit it this way. It's like, what?
Anyway, but I get it. I'm a guitar player and a bass player. So if, for example, I was in a room with you and you knew how to say, no, do a C minor or do this, it would help me a hell of a lot more by going, play a melancholy chord.
Exactly. Yeah, so, I totally agree.
Did you take formal lessons or was it self-taught?
I took some lessons with guitar and piano. But I was so fucking bored. Like, I don't know what it was. Like, vocal lessons were always, like, my jam. And I loved, like, learning more about that instrument, like, your vocal cords and using your voice and controlling your breath. Something about taking, like, guitar and piano lessons bored the fuck out of me. So I took a little bit. Ben, and
that's the teacher. That's not you. Get it straight.
No, that's me. Well,
we just getting our first fight.
Well, and I think like for guitar and piano teachers, like, of course, they're going to be teaching you scales and like reading music and all of those things that are super technical and really important. But I really only wanted to learn just enough to write songs. I wanted to know chords and I wanted to like learn how to come up with my own ideas, which wasn't really obviously a normal way that a teacher would teach those instruments. So I ended up like going on YouTube and just really learning the chords that I needed to learn. A lot of the chords that are often played in like pop songs and pop music. And I kind of taught myself that way.
Well, my theory on music lessons in general, unless, you know, it's at a conservatory or you're getting a degree in it, is you're learning the instrument because you enjoy it. And mm-hmm. so I feel that, because I used to be a teacher in between touring and all that stuff, and I would want to teach songs that had musical value. So mm-hmm. if you, for example, were a guitar student, I would teach basic fundamentals, just getting the fingers strong, because you got to crawl before you walk. Yeah, and totally. Then I would have said, hey, what do you want to learn? And you might have been like, I want to learn My Happy Ending by Avril Lavigne. And I'd be like, yes, I can do that. And I can explain it. And I feel that that would benefit a student a hell of a lot more, because, you know, they will excel at the instrument if they enjoy practicing.
Totally. I 100% agree. And there's like a guy in LA that once in a while I'll call up, and he's a guitar teacher, but he's awesome because I'll just tell him like, hey, I want to get better at playing and singing my songs. Like if I had to turn it into an acoustic thing, you know, what would I do? And he sits down and he helps me go through the motions of that. And that's super helpful. And that's, you know, what I want to learn and get better at.
Oh, wow. Humble brag. Yeah. I'm practicing my own songs.
Well, no, but it's crazy because like I'll be in the room with a producer and they whip up this magical thing and I'm writing and singing. And then like when it comes time to like, if I just want to play my song at home, like I want to figure out the best way to do that on an acoustic guitar.
Yeah, no, 100%. I was lightly teasing you because you're very professional.
It does sound pretty lame, though. I just want to learn how to play my own songs.
It's so lame.
It sounds very LA.
Very LA.
You know who is my biggest influence as a songwriter? Me.
Myself.
I'm mostly influenced by things that happen to me. I really don't listen to outside music. That.
I love the confidence that comes from that, though. You know?
This is Maggie Szabo, Emily.
It's like a weird thing. It's
easy in LA to lose all your confidence. So,
yeah.
And we're going to come to your time in LA, but I want to make sure we're getting the full backstory, the full prequel to the current film of your life. Mm-hmm. So, you're hitting like high school age, and at this point you're like, okay, music is my thing. This is what I'm doing. Did you have any bands in high school? Did you work with other kids your age when you were at that age making music?
Yeah, I had a band.
You're allowed. We like outing the name of the band, especially if it's a really atrocious name. It's something that we really like to do on the show.
I haven't talked about this in like years. So even just thinking about this, like it's so cringy. So I was like, there was this guy, and like, you know, when you're in high school and the older guys are just so much cooler. So, and he was cute and I had a big crush on him. Oh my God, of course. So we got in this band together because he was a drummer, of course, and he also played some guitar. So we formed this little band called Aduro. Oh my God. And
Aduro?
Aduro, like A-D-U-R-O.
Did people mispronounce that more than Szabo?
I don't know. I don't think so, because really there was only our high school that knew about it. And like, you know.
But wait, what is Aduro? It sounds like a virus.
Yeah, I literally don't even know how or why or like where the name came from.
Okay. All right.
I knew you were interesting.
I don't hate it. If Atreyu could get away with it.
Yeah, but Atreyu is a classic character in a freaking movie. Like Aduro. There was no Aduro in Neverending Story. There was Atreyu.
Yeah.
But I get the feeling this embarrassing story isn't over yet, actually.
I mean, no, it's just, I think it's just so cringy.
What's that weird, Maggie?
Cringy. No, it didn't get that weird. We just eventually went our separate ways. It was kind of like more like emo pop music, which is strange because I would never sing emo music, but he was like an emo guy.
Like what era of that world?
Mashup. Pardon me?
What era of that? Like which bands in the emo world? Because that could mean a lot.
I don't even know because I think I was just bringing in my pop stuff and he was bringing in his emo shit. And like there was no one that we were like, you know, inspired by who was doing what we were doing. I think it's just that we were very different and there was no one else to do music with. So that's kind of all it was.
R.I.P.
Exactly. Yes. Rest in peace.
That's some deep cuts. That's some deep hits.
Yeah.
You went to your phenomenal Canadian public school where you got a real education.
Like actual, totally. probably legit real better education than an expensive private school.
Canadian high schools are like American colleges.
Is that, do people really think that? Or are you just saying that?
We love the healthcare system and the education system.
That to be mean to America.
Yes. Okay. Well, I agree with you on that. I mean, I don't know what the education like is here because I never went to school here, but the healthcare, I do miss that in Canada a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right. But you're now a fully educated adult, or relatively so. How did you start taking stabs to do this more professionally? Was that happening in high school with the band? Were you trying to reach out to people and land gigs and things like that?
Definitely. Like in high school, eventually I met up with this guy who owned like his recording studio and I was writing a bunch of songs on my own and I recorded songs with him and he kind of taught me a lot about how like the software works, which kind of empowered me to like, okay, like if I ever need to record stuff on my own, I can do that. I learned a lot about like the technical background stuff of like what goes into actually like recording your stuff.
So you know, I just want to tell you something that you've never thought about in addition to your band name that you haven't thought about in a real long time. A pattern for you, and I see this already without knowing you, that I think you should appreciate about yourself because you leveled me up earlier, so I'm going to level you up now, is that with the guitar teaching and with learning how to record, you were learning respectfully from people how to do things yourself, which...
Yeah.
Is really great because too many people rely on others to get things done. And sometimes you're going to wait a really long time or forever.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And it is 100% true. Like, I think especially what 2020 has taught us is like, you have to really be self-reliant and be able to, you know,
wait, what happened in 2020 to teach us that? It's been a great year for everyone.
One day I'll tell you about it.
He brings up a great point is that you weren't just like striving to do one thing perfectly. You were like, wait, there takes a dozen of skills to make this happen. So I might as well start learning them.
I mean, in the music business, yes, absolutely. It's not even like about so much of it isn't even about music. It's about business and what goes on behind the scenes. So there's so many different pieces that I feel like you have to learn. And I didn't even know it at the time. I was just kind of like falling into things and trying to learn as much as I could. And I didn't really understand or realize that those tools were what I was going to be using for like the future. And like when I was actually building my career.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And you don't have to age yourself, but we're assuming this is happening in relatively recent time where the technology for recording yourself has been blowing up. People do great work on iPhones. No judgment if you that's how you get it done.
We're recording this all at our in four different locations because of technology. Yeah. And this is the very first episode that I have a microphone for. It really is. Adobe sent me a mic, so you're welcome.
So crisp. And we're going to do some ASMR later too.
Love that.
Is that how, so were you also fighting to like get yourself like shows or were you making connections in the Toronto music scene or
I was gonna ask already making plans? We're on the same wavelength.
Yeah, you know.
I feel like I was going to open mics in Toronto and I was driving over, but I wasn't like super into the Toronto music scene yet. Like, and I feel like I never really was. And I'm not sure like why. I don't know if it's that I didn't spend the time, But like looking back, like I would go a couple times a week, and I specifically remember this one time. It was like in the middle of winter, and it was like a school night, and I was going to like this open mic somewhere in Toronto, and it was like snowing so hard, and it was just like a really scary drive. But I would do that, you know, once a week, and it was great. It taught me how to like perform in front of people. But I think the reason like I didn't spend enough time in Toronto was like I was in high school. I was doing my thing there. And the typical thing, like you're in your last year of high school and everyone's kind of figuring out like where they need to go to college or university and what they're going to do after. And I remember that was a really pivotal time because all of my friends were going to university. I had gotten accepted into some universities. I was maybe going to go study business. I wanted to go study music. But for me, it didn't really make sense to study music at a Canadian college or university because I really wanted to get myself in like the business of it. And I had auditioned and I got into Berklee College of Music in Boston.
Wow.
But the tuition rates were insane. And as an international student, I couldn't afford it. My family couldn't afford it. And there wasn't really any way for me to get any student loans either at the time. So I was kind of like stuck, like, you know, the one place I was thinking I wanted to go, I couldn't really make that work. I wasn't excited about the idea of like going the traditional route of like going to university and getting a degree, because at the end of the day, like, that's not really what I wanted to do. So I ended up taking a year off. I was like, okay, I'll take a year off and I'll just get some clarity. So after a few months of I graduated high school, I ended up driving to Nashville. I was like, you know what? I'll just drive there for 2 weeks. I'll go to some open mics. I'll do some writer nights. I'll try and connect with different people. So I drove my ass down there, and then I ended up staying for like a year and a half.
Wait. So I just want to cut you off because yeah. We only have a minute and a half left, and I feel that you should talk about this drive a little bit more, and then the second half we could talk about your Nashville experience. But you drove yourself from Toronto area to Nashville just by yourself with all your stuff?
Yeah.
How was like that take?
17 or 18. It's a 14-hour drive.
Yo!
Did you do it all in one day?
Yeah. Because I was like too afraid to stay overnight at a hotel, like some weird sketchy motel by myself.
No,
I
mean,
not in America. Anywhere in America.
No. So I was like, I'll do it all in one go. But it's amazing. Like, now when I think about doing a 14-hour drive by myself, like that sounds horrible. Yeah. But when you're like young and like it's this new experience and you're excited to like be somewhere new with like all of these different possibilities, like it was so much fun. It was awesome.
Totally. Well, you live in LA now, so a 14-hour drive is just your commute across town.
That's daily, like Woodland Hills to Calabasas.
Yeah, literally.
Anyway,
at the end of segment one, we're going to wrap things out. We're going to take a quick break. Enjoy this message from Adobe, and we'll be right back.
Hello, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that wonderful break or music, or if you left the room, whatever you're doing in the other room. But now you're back and listening to Waldman's Words with Maggie Szabo. And then Scott and Jed are also here because they host the show.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Wow.
When last we left our amazing hero of this story, the cliffhanger ending to the first movie of her life, Maggie was traveling 17 hours across 14. Multiple countries.
Yeah, dude, 14, man.
Multiple countries.
Yeah, no, that's true. Multiple countries in days. A 93-hour drive. It was great.
93, yes. Multiple continents.
83 continents, one jet streamer.
But you wanted to make this dream happen, so gosh damn it, you did. You got yourself down to Nashville and you started making it happen. What did you start to do?
I didn't know anyone, of course. So there's a lot of great things about Nashville. One of my favorite things about Nashville is food is great, but we also live in LA. There's great food here.
I know, but Southern, oh my God. I know that like in Montreal, the poutine's great, but like Nashville food is like fat kid special and I love it.
It's delicious. And especially now, like it's just expanding and getting, you know, so many different more businesses and restaurants, and it is really,
expanding. I want to hear more about your Nashville experience, because I could literally just talk about Hattie B's and like Hush Puppies and fried crap the whole time.
Well, one thing I do love about it there is the talent of songwriters. Like, songwriting is such a focus, and the lyrics and the stories that are told and the poetry and just that level of people creating is insane. So the writers' nights there was like pretty much a songwriters' night every single night at a different place, different location. So I got really good at knowing where those were, and I would go to them like pretty much every single night I was out there, just trying to like sing my songs and meet new people. And I was having a lot of fun doing that. And after like 6 months, I ended up getting connected with this songwriter, Tanya Lea, and she like totally took me under her wing. And her husband were both songwriters, and we ended up recording some songs together. And fast forward like a year and a half, we were sending out the stuff, because at that time I didn't really know at all what I was doing on the business side, like zero. So my thing was like, okay, let's just try and get a record deal. So we sent out the music to a bunch of labels in the States and in Canada, and we got a bite from an independent record label in Canada. So I actually ended up signing with them and going back home and recording a full album. And we did the radio thing.
Wait, what label was it?
They were called Linus Entertainment.
Anyone that we would know that was on it?
No.
Okay.
Well, no.
it's still someone who believed in you. I don't want to diminish that.
Yeah. And I mean, it was a good learning experience, because at the time, like, I was just like, oh my God, a record deal. Like, I didn't really think about like, okay, is this actually like the right move? And like, what are they putting in? And, you know, they were traditionally a folk label, and they were trying to trying to do something new with a pop act, which was me. So for me, it was like a great like learning experience, because I learned so much about the business and really what goes on behind the scenes and how a record label even works. So once I was with them, we did an album, and I really always felt like I needed to be somewhere else. Like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, I know this isn't my final destination as far as where I'm going to be setting up like my career. So I ended up deciding to go to LA. I was like, I'm going to come here for a 2-week songwriting trip.
Was this after you released your album?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And my idea was coming out here like, all right, I'm still stuck in this deal with this label, but I need to write more songs, and I really want to expand people I'm working with and meet new people and experience new things. So I booked a flight out here for 2 weeks, and it's kind of the same Nashville story. Like, I came out here and I fell in love with it, and I didn't want to leave.
So you should plan on moving somewhere and then not. I mean,
that's true. Yeah, I have the opposite problem. I go somewhere to visit.
I'm moving to Florida, man. You get there. Oh my God. No.
Like, I'll go back to LA.
But no, don't say that. Like, you're going to visit LA.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I knew like there was something about it here. Like, I knew when I got here, I'm like, this feels right. Like, this something just about like the vibe and the energy. And like, I felt like more at home here than I did in Nashville. And I just felt like this is where I have to spend my time. And being a Canadian, it complicates things a lot with the immigration and the visa status. And it was already like, one of the reasons I think I packed up from Nashville going back to Canada, and why I jumped at that opportunity with that record label, is I was on like a certain visa and my visa was running out, and the whole immigration thing is so stressful. And I didn't have enough success under my belt when I was in Nashville to build up my resume for me to get the visa that I needed to get to like really live here. So, at this point, like being with that record label, it allowed me to get a lot of stuff on my resume that helped me build my case to petition myself to get what's called an O-1 visa, which is the artist visa. It's the same visa that athletes get. So I was like, okay, I'm going to basically apply for this O-1 visa and I'm going to put everything I can into getting it.
Well,
and
you're proving your quote unquote legitimacy because whether a label is Interscope or a label that Maggie and Scott start now called Maggie and Scott Start Now, people who don't know too much about the record industry see label and they just automatically assume, you know, oh shit, she's huge.
Mm-hmm. It's well, so true.
You say it's so true about a lot of things I say, and I just want you to know, I love that.
You know, it sounds like you know what you're talking about.
This is interesting because we've never, I mean, we've spoken to international people before on the show, but no one who has really moved from out of the country to California. And maybe people who are international fans of the show and want to work in music and everything as well. We're not going to go fully into the immigration process because I don't think anyone completely understands it. But I think it's really interesting as to like what needs to be proven to come here. And like just what works and what won't work, because, you know, having music out that people could see and people could have, like, that's also one of them. Being signed to a label off like adds legitimacy, all that jazz.
Yeah. So,
what would you say for people like artists that are looking to do the move that you did? Like, what would you give them an advice wise, or what would you say like to start doing now?
Yeah. I mean, and it's a good question because so many people from like back home reach out and they want to know, like, you know, what are the steps that you have to take? And the whole thing that I did being with the record label and releasing music and having it on radio and getting like featured in the local fucking newspaper, like
a local fucking newspaper, my favorite fucking newspaper.
Like at the time, I'm like, you know, when you're in the thick of it, nothing, like it's like not that exciting, but like from the outside looking in, like, okay, like that could sound like legit. And so all of those little things, like, you have to build up everything, every blog, every feature, anytime the radio played your song, any music video that you released, all of this stuff really builds your case and adds to your career. And that's the stuff that they really look at when you are trying to move here from a different country. And obviously it depends on your profession, like the O-1 visa, one of them, you know, it's for musicians, songwriters, artists, people in sports. So it's kind of one of those things you have to put in the time and the effort to really build up your case and make whoever's reviewing your case at the end of the day, whatever border patrol, immigration officer, I don't know what they're called, whoever's sitting down at their desk that day and they get this file, like, and they open it and they start reading it, like, are they going to be compelled to be like, wow, this person deserves to be here? Really, that's what it comes down to.
You're proving your worth.
Yeah.
Technical connections. She's actually working with businesses. She's actually got hard concrete plans, not just a wish and a dream.
Yeah.
So Zabby Dabby Doo, we're here closer in the modern era where you're in LA, your career is like full on happening now. 2020 threw us for a little bit of a loop, but that doesn't stop somebody like you. So first I want to hear about like what a day or week in the life of you in like 2019 was, and then how that's different from a day or week in the life of you in 2020.
It's a great question.
Jed's great. I want you to show them.
No, because this year has affected people. So like I read this quote the other day and it said 2020, like for people to say that we're all in the same boat is false. We're all in the same storm and everyone has their canoe or their kayak or they're just swimming in the fucking water or they're on a yacht. Like everyone has experienced this year completely different than the next person. So it's been a tough year for a lot of people, and the one thing for me that I do feel thankful for is like I was still able to sit at home and write and record songs by myself, and that's basically the one thing that mainly did change. Like 2019, I was playing shows. I was rehearsing for the shows. I was in the studio with a bunch of people, different people every single day. I was traveling. I was going to Europe to write with people there. Fast forward, obviously, 2020, like my circle is a lot smaller. There are people that I still see in person, but it's only a couple people. And other than that, I'm just sitting at home, writing songs, meeting people on Zoom and recording them myself and sending my vocals across the internet.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that you putting in the work to learn how to both write and record your own songs paid off?
What? So rare that something pays off.
Weird.
Very weird. Yeah. So.
But your hustle aesthetic didn't change at all. You constantly kept applying the same level of work to it. You kept putting in the same hours every week into it.
Totally. Like, I remember when all of this was going down, like, people were like, obviously, they didn't really know what to do. And I was like, well, this is an opportunity where I can just, like, write as many songs as I can and, like, still try and keep up that same hustle. And obviously, it's more difficult, like, working alone and being alone sucks, but like at least I knew I could keep myself busy. It was gonna help the experience.
Well, something that we talk about a lot on this show is adaptation and evolution and lots of shuns. But basically, the producers, the writers, and the artists that are able to pivot and really, really make their career work by sharing files online, by recording at home, they're the ones who are able to succeed with the COVID world. The producers that were kind of like, get in a room, let's jam, let's come up with something with a group of a lot of people, kind of the way that old records were done, they're dying. Studios that have had millions and millions of dollars of income are shutting down. It's crazy. You have to be able to roll with the punches and adapt.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think what this year has taught us, like, I'm surprised. I'm always surprised. Like, damn, like if you had told me last year that for months I wouldn't be going to a gym, I wouldn't be like traveling, I wouldn't be doing what I'm used to doing, I would be like, there's no way.
You'd
be
wearing a fucking mask. You'd be afraid to leave the house.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
My son was born in September of 2019. And mathematically, he spent far more time in some form of quarantine than out of it.
It's really
crazy. And obviously, a lot of people lost their lives and are continuing to do so because there are really dumb people out there. But anyway, that's a separate component. I want to hear about a day in the life of you pre-quarantine in LA.
Okay. Well, I wake up.
You set yourself away from the pack.
I freaking hope so. I go to the gym. Like, the first thing I have to do to kick off my day is I have to work out. So I do CrossFit, I run, I play tennis. So just depending on the day, I would move my body somehow. Oh,
God, she does CrossFit. Never mind. Interview over.
Wait, are you a vegan too? And wait, so if you're a CrossFit and you're Harvard. A vegan, what do you tell people first?
You know what? I'm not vegan. But I would say I'm not like, you know, I run, I play tennis. I'm not like all into one thing. I like a lot of
different
things.
Let's throw this boulder over a hill and narrowly miss a baby.
You know what? As much as you want to shit talk.
No, it's a great workout. We talk with people. It's all good.
No, I was going to say that's like where I met most of like my friends and the people. A lot of the people are from like people that I met at the gym, like the people I work with and hang out with and write songs with. Like, I made a lot of those connections through that, which is insane.
No, people meet through groups and hobbies. I'm a huge fan of however someone works out as long as they do. So it's just you know, it's just the bro culture with that goes along with literally everything. Like the Beatles are my favorite band ever, and some of their fans are insufferable. Anyway, continue.
Yeah.
And we know you're really into fitness. We saw this on your Instagram.
Yeah.
So if anyone's interested in that, please go to @allaboutmaggie.
Thanks for the plug. Yeah, I'm working out.
I'm following you right now. I'm Scott Lewis Waldman. You are officially famous.
Kick off your day. Now your brain's pumping. Now your blood's pumping.
So now I'm pumping. And then first thing I do after that, I come home and I Zoom with my manager. So I was doing the whole Zoom thing for like years before this because my manager is based on the East Coast. So like, and he's 3 hours ahead. So by the time I get back, like it's the middle of his day and we usually like to touch base and see what's going on and what's on the agenda and what we need to do and kind of strategize. So we link up, we talk about stuff. And then after that, normally I'm either in the studio or I'm writing with someone at their home studio or at my place. And usually like for songwriters, like anyone who's listening who doesn't know a thing about music, the nice thing, my favorite thing, one of my favorite things is like our days usually start at like 12 or 1. So that's when we're kind of in the studio recording and writing, which was perfect timing for me because it gave me the time in the morning to like work out and link up with my manager. And then we're pretty much in the studio until like, I would say 8 or 9, depending on the day, how fast we're working. And then I come home, have dinner, you know, catch up on some emails, work on some social media. And that's kind of like what my typical day would be like.
And you glossed over worked on the social media. You mean that huge, massive aspect of your career by which you get other people to see what you have going on?
Yeah.
Curating content and taking photos and getting them posted. People like, you know, if you're not using Instagram professionally, it's like, oh, you take a picture and you post it. And as everyone on this call will tell you, you have to curate the content, make sure it's right, come up with the text copy, use the right hashtags, explore those hashtags, tag the right people, explore those people. It is work.
They're well thought out posts. It's not just stream of consciousness. So
yeah, you have to plan ahead. And especially like even just getting the content, like you have to have shoot days where you know, a month in advance, you're getting a bunch of different pictures and videos and stuff to post for the month ahead. So it definitely takes a lot of planning.
Moral of the story, you do not need to post that picture the second you take it. You can wait.
No, you don't. Sleep on it. Just live with it for a minute.
If it comes back to you, it's yours. If it doesn't, it wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, it's very true.
If you love a post, set it free. So now to juxtapose that with 2020, you can't run down to the gym, you can't run down to the studio, but
that's why I did it. I was setting her up for a fall and then we're gonna close the show. It's perfect. Thank you for tuning into Waldman's Words. We ended on a shitty note. Have a good day.
Hope it inspired you. Well, I mean, like, the thing with this year is I tried maintaining the same schedule. I tried keeping like my, environment and everything around me like as close to my normal as possible. So in the morning, I would still wake up at the same time. I was working out. I would work out at home. I would go to the park. I would go for a run. All of the stuff that I could still do to stay active, I was doing. I would come home. I would still Zoom with my manager, just like everyone else was Zooming in. And then, like, after that, I was writing songs. And I was, instead of me being with, like, a couple other people, I was just at home working by myself.
Yeah. And, again, you taught yourself recording software. What do you use?
I use Logic. Awesome. And my mic, I have a cute little manly mic, which is, like, my favorite thing in the world. So
is Manly the brand, or did you call it cute and then Manly?
No, Manly's the brand. Oh, okay. Yeah, there's nothing manly about it, but it is called a Manly.
So you, again, and you know, if you, that's all you really need to at least get started. Some people are like, oh, I need $40,000 of equipment to get the job done.
No, you do not. Like, you have to have something to plug. You can get a cheap mic for like $80. Like, it's amazing how amazing you can make things sound with just like no money. Obviously you have to have like a laptop or a computer or something. But people shouldn't be as intimidated as I feel like a lot of people are by like what actually you need to make a song.
Yeah, exactly. A little heart, a little spirit, Mm-hmm. Little brains. Now, we're sadly already coming near the end of the whole dang show. We don't love it, but you know what? We loved having you. Now, let's get, like, really caught up. Let's talk, like, super what's actually going on. What are you releasing? What's about to be released? Why is your Spotify Wrapped so incredible? Oh, like, really high numbers.
You're doing great. We're very proud of you, and we don't even know you.
You guys are awesome.
I know.
I appreciate that because I have been an independent artist since moving out here, and I feel like, for me, I've always wanted to feel like empowered and releasing my stuff and not having to rely on anyone else to like do the back end or do the business. So it's taken quite a long time, but I feel like now I have a good sense that like I actually know what I'm doing. It only took like, you know, 20 something years, but new music. I mean, I released a Christmas song, and now that it's like, you know, 2021, we're going to be releasing like a song pretty much every month. And who knows what the live scene is going to look like. I don't know. I'm not going to rely on anything, but for me, my goal is to just be releasing a lot of high quality, great music with some awesome videos and just continuing to build up my numbers.
That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, honestly. Exactly. Yeah. Don't put all your eggs in any one basket. You gotta be ready. Yeah. Maybe 2021 will be worse. Who knows?
Please don't say that.
With a little time left, can you tell us where to find you on all these dang platforms?
Yes. Please come visit me on my website, allaboutmaggie.com. All of my social media is at All About Maggie, M-A-G-G-I-E. You guys can find me on Spotify, on YouTube, on Apple Music, all of the good stuff.
And do you want to give a quick shout out to Dundas?
Dundas, what's up, fam? I miss you guys. I would go visit, but I can't because of COVID. But I'll be there next summer, hopefully.
Well, we want to give another shout out to Katie for facilitating this. Again, we love it when publicists pitch their acts to us because it makes us feel like we're doing something right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, talking about the back end, that's Scott and Emily to a T. I mean, yeah. These guys got the business wrapped.
Damn. Thank you, Jed.
You've been listening to Waldman's Words here on Adobe Radio, live on their platform every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, and every Sunday morning, be right and early at 5 a.m.?
Correct.
Pacific, yep. Yeah, I was making sure I got that right. You can also catch us live on Twitch Tuesdays at 4 p.m. twitch.tv/Waldman's Words. You can find us at Waldman's Words literally everywhere and catch all of our links there. That's Emily Burke with 3 E's in total. I'm Jed Fuchs. Figure out how to spell it. That's at Scott Lewis Waldman.
And I'll just say one thing. When we do the Twitch, when we have the notice for the episode, you were a great guest. We'd love to have you on. It is an hour before your episode airs. So yes, hopefully we can work that out.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest on the show, Maggie Zabel!
Thank you guys so much for having me. This is awesome.